podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the Voices of the Vic podcast with myself, Joe Thomas. And tonight I'm joined by, as you can see, Cam Smart and Katie Kirkley. Obviously, we're here to discuss the 1-0 win with Birmingham City at the weekend at St Andrews. Obviously, a rare win. It's rarer for us to win at home these days, isn't it? But a rare victory for the Hornets. First of all, Cam, you were obviously at the game of the weekend, as were you, Katie. But how are you doing? And are you still buzzing from the result of the weekend?
Yeah, that was a brilliant away day. I mean, first one I've been to for quite a while. And yeah, it was good. The commute back was absolutely horrible. I don't know if anyone was going back to Euston after, but it was just shocking with all the delays. And then my tube station was shut as well when I finally got there 2 hours late. But all worth it, because that was a cracking day out. Yeah, how about yourself?
Yeah, it was good. Obviously, as you guys know, I set off very early. And obviously coming back, getting back to Portsmouth, I ended up getting through the door about 11:45. And it was a long one. It was a very long day. I was aching tired, but it was definitely worth it after coming back with 3 points. And Katie, obviously, we saw you there with your dad at the weekend. You look like you're enjoying the day as well.
Yeah, no, it was good. It was one of the closer ones for me. Getting back wasn't as a massive struggle. But we had a really good time, and I just thought that the vibes were really good. So yeah, we had a really nice day.
Good. Cool. Well, let's jump right in. Obviously, we'll start with the starting 11 at the weekend. Obviously, it was the same team bar two players. There were two changes at the weekend. Who obviously being one, having to come out of the team through suspension. And Jamal Lewis as well came out, and to everyone's surprise, Morris came into the side. Cam, what did you... Obviously, we knew Wesley was coming out of the side, but were you surprised to see Morris started at the weekend?
Yeah, I was. And excuse me, neither of our left-back options fill me with any kind of confidence at the moment. I mean, I think Jamal Lewis probably needs a bit of time out of the team with the way he's been playing, but when your option is James Morris, it doesn't give you much choice. And look, I immediately thought, yeah, Blues are going to have a lot of joy down that right-hand side of theirs, aren't they? And just no confidence for that at all. And look, in future, I think we obviously have got a problem there. I'd like to see Ken Semmer put a left back when he's back from injury. And I don't think it's his best position. I don't think he's maybe best suited there. But in terms of what we've got, I'd actually go as far as saying he's the best option. So, yeah, I'm just a bit sick and tired of Jamal Lewis, and I was glad to see him dropped. But it didn't fill me with too much hope for the game, to be honest.
No, I know it was a strange one, because obviously we've all wanted Jamal Lewis out the side, I think, for a few weeks now. He's not obviously played the best. Obviously, he made that error, didn't he, against Swansea, which nearly led to a goal, and his just overall performance hasn't really been great. It was one of the points I was going to bring in later, but Katie, what did you think overall for... Morris and Andrews as the two starting fullbacks? How did you think that they both did at the weekend? Obviously, we've been wanting Andrews to come back in the side and get a game a bit more. How did you think he did at the weekend?
I mean, I thought they both did pretty well. I don't really remember there being any moments of like, ooh, for them. But I think them coming in, especially Morris, is... There was a sense of like Lewis was getting a bit comfortable in the side, and he was kind of like, oh, you know, he's not going to get dropped. And when Morris comes in, there is a bit of like, oh, is this the right decision? You know, he can be a bit, he's had games where he's been brilliant, and then he's had games where he's been a bit really off the pace and not looked really out of his depth. I thought that Birmingham didn't make it easy for him. I thought he was running around a lot and putting in a lot of effort, and can't really fault that. And I think overall that was what we saw from the team on Saturday, just effort. There was lots of effort, lots of drive, lots of power, and at the end of the day, if you've got that grit and determination, you're going to do well. It doesn't matter if you're the best player or not. If you try how Morris and Andrews have been trying, you're gonna do well. And I think that's what we saw.
Can I just offer a counter to that? Because I actually thought Morris and Andrews were a bit of a weak link and certainly targeted by Birmingham the other day. And they certainly gave Pollock and Porteous a lot of work to do between them, because I thought Birmingham found it way too easy to get behind the fullbacks on both sides. They had a lot of crossing situations from there, and there are a lot of times there is just a sort of a young naivety about both of them, which is completely understandable. But when they got forward, and you know, when we're about to lose possession, they don't sort of sense that danger that they're going to have to get back, and it left a lot of room on the counter for Birmingham. And yeah, they certainly got a lot of joy in those wide areas, I thought. So yeah, look, I didn't think either had a great game, and but it's easy to forget they are both young, and they're our only options at the moment, so we've got to put a lot of faith in them.
Yeah, listen, going back to what Katie said, I do agree. I thought they both put in a hell of a lot of effort. You could see the effort was there. But agreeing with you, Cam, I actually didn't think they had the best game between them. Obviously, I've been one that's wanted Andrews in the side for a lot of this season, and I do see a lot of promise in him, and he's a very exciting player. But yeah, I thought there were a lot of times where he gave the ball away at the weekend. He left that side exposed quite a few times because he was slow getting back. Obviously, poor passes into the middle of the park. He was then sluggish and wasn't quick on the turn to then get back. And like you say, it gave him a lot of joy down in those wide areas, and they were putting the ball in. And obviously, going into kind of Porteous and Pollock, obviously, Cam, you mentioned obviously they had a lot of work to do at the weekend because of those two not being as good as we would have hoped. But as a pairing, I mean, I thought Pollock easily his best performance in a Watford shirt, without a shadow of a doubt for me. I thought it was absolutely phenomenal. And again, as well, Porteous, I thought Porteous was phenomenal as well. I thought both of them were great. And as a pairing, I mean, would you start with them? It's kind of, obviously, we would expect Wesley to come in, but do you think he's given Tom a bit of a headache in selection for the Leeds game?
Yeah, well, look, first of all, I think Wes has one more game on that ban, so I do think we'll see both of them start against Leeds.
Oh, cool. I forgot it was two. My mistake.
But as for the right centre-back, when Wes does come back, that is obviously going to be up for grabs. I mean, Porteous was fantastic against Birmingham, and before that, he'd scored two in two. So I think he's probably the main contender for it. But Pollock was excellent on Saturday, and you wouldn't want to see him drop, because I thought he got to absolutely everything. And there were a few times I thought he got done maybe a bit too easily in the first half, but for all the work that he had to do, and he did have a lot of work to do, because Birmingham were pressuring us loads, and they were getting shots away with ease, but him and Porteous, they both really stood to the task. And yeah, I thought they were both absolutely fantastic. And there was obviously a bit of debate pre-match, you know, is it going to be Pollock? Is it going to be Sierra? And I boldly went against everyone else and said, I think it should be Pollock. And he's done me well there, because, yeah, I think he's probably cemented his place above Sierra in the pecking order now.
Yeah, it's I do know, obviously, from walking down to the ground, a lot of people were expecting Sierra to start and stuff. And obviously, when we saw the lineup, everyone was surprised that he went with Pollock. But obviously, with the average age of the squad at the weekend, they said was down at, was it 24? I think it was the average age of the team at the weekend. It's very, very, very young side, wasn't it? I think, like you say, Pollock has definitely gone ahead of Serrauta. So obviously, with Wesley coming out of the side, there was a big question mark over what would be done over the captaincy. Everyone kind of thought, Katie, that Ben Hamer might come back into the side, because Batman had made two errors in previous games, which had obviously led to us obviously conceding. it wasn't to be. Backman obviously started and was announced as captain. Were you surprised by that move?
I don't think I was surprised at it because I thought, because Backman's had a run of games, I feel like he will probably play and he is the club captain. So I feel like he'll just go with that because it's what it's going to be because Hoot's not there. I think the thing about Backman is the whole point of being dropped is like if you make mistakes, you should be dropped. And in the last two games where he's made mistakes, it's been like goal-costing moments where we've like lost the game or conceded because of his mistakes. Like, I do agree that I think Hamer had dropped off slightly on form, but not enough that I'd be going take him out. I think the thing with Backman is he puts us under so much pressure when it's like not even needed. Like this all play out from the back. I mean, in the Birmingham game, it was clear that when Birmingham sussed it out, they changed it. And, you know, that's good that he can do that. But every time he gets a ball, I think, oh, he's going to do something now that just like, he's just going to roll the ball out straight at them. Like, he doesn't give me any confidence. And that's the one thing that Hamer gives me is confidence. And the issue with Backman being captain is the stuff that we said, I don't know if it was beginning of the season when we were like, it's hard for a goalkeeper to be captain because how can you control, you can't be involved in the games when so many times when he was getting sent off because he would run the length of the pitch to shout at the ref, like you're not involved in the game when you're in the goal. Like it has to be an outfield player, I think. But I mean, I'm not going to criticise him too much because I still think he did okay in the Birmingham game. Like, yes, it was a bit shaky here and there, a few mistakes, but he did well at times. I just think, and Tom Cleverley did do that statement where he was like, oh, Hoot's going to be captain in the games, but Backman will be like the club captain in moving the team forward. I mean, I don't even know what that means, but at least he's come up with a statement saying that's his idea of what he thinks it's going to be like.
Yeah, I felt that was kind of needed and necessary after the weekend. And, it's good from him that he's come out and outlined what he wants from the squad for the remainder of the season, I think. Obviously, there was that big thing at the beginning of the season, Cam, wasn't there, when Val announced the people that would be like captain. And then I can't remember what he phrased the other people behind. I know there was, I think it was Loser, Sema, Hamer, just to name a few people that were included in that potentially could step up if needed to be captain. So obviously with Backman, like I say, being in that cluster of people, surely there would have been, with Backman and being a little bit shaky over the last couple of games and making them errors, there would have been no reason why Hamer potentially could have come back in and been captain just like Backman was at the weekend. Does it maybe show that Hamer's probably not going to get a look in now between now and the end of the season?
Possibly. I mean, look, as good as Hamer's been all season, before he was dropped, you could see the performances sort of starting to decline. And we have been waiting all season for his performances to drop off because he's not been a championship first-choice keeper pretty much his whole career, really. And yeah, he's come to us and he had a great run of form, but it did tail off. And I don't buy the whole narrative that he didn't deserve to be dropped. I think if it was Daniel Backman playing like that, he would have been dropped. That said, yeah, you're right. Backman, he did make two big errors. But I think Tom Cleverley's just gone with, you know, a player he trusts, and he's put a lot more faith in Backman because he played with him a lot more. But yeah, as a young manager with no experience at all, you're not going to come in and start shaking stuff up, and you're not going to strip Backman of the captaincy, because he said a few weeks ago, after I think it was the Swansea game, that he is still the club captain. He's just when Wes Hoot's on the pitch, he's going to be captain. So look, it's a weird narrative, but that's how it is, and Cleverley is going to lose a lot of respect if he comes in and just changes that up immediately. So yeah, look, I think he's handled the situation well, and it showed in Backman's performance, didn't it? Because he looked a little bit shaky with distribution as always, but he looked a lot more sort of comfortable and obviously made a very good save, although the rest of his game was quite quiet. But yeah, I thought he did really well, and why not, you know, keep him in for next game?
Yeah, it was an important save, an important time of the game, wasn't it? It was, I was very, very surprised. It was hit. It looked good from where we were, but looking back at it on the telly, the pace on it and the amount of people that were in front of him for him to make the save like he did, and it kind of, it was good that it didn't go back into a dangerous area, and that we were able to obviously stop the ball going in. It was fantastic. But yeah, so going on to the midfield three of the weekend, it was Tom Delibashiru, Ismaël Koné, and Kayembe. Obviously, it was the same three that started the Coventry game, so there was no change in that midfield. I personally thought that Tom Delibashiru was fantastic at the weekend. I thought he had a really good game. Katie, what did you think of the midfield three as a trio?
I thought Koné had really... I thought recently his performances have been a bit hit and miss. Like, there's been games where he's not done a lot. And then I thought on Saturday, I thought he was really good. Always driving forward, sort of back to how we saw him in sort of like November time. I thought, again, Tom Delibashiru, I thought he did really well. But I also think he plays really well in that position. Every time, well, not every time, but like a couple of times where he has, when Val was playing him in midfield, he was playing really well. It was only when he was out of position, he did look a bit shaky and not as good. But then when he's playing in the position that he's supposed to play, he is good. And Saturday was just another way of solidifying that, because he can play really good football when he's in that right position. And I thought he did really well. As I do agree that he had a really good game. I thought Kayembe, he didn't look as good as the other two. I think a lot of people around me were saying like they needed to get him off because he wasn't great. I just think like maybe since his injury, he's not been as good as he was before the injury, which is just maybe lack of fitness, just off the pace a bit. But overall, I thought the midfield was really good. Sometimes I feel like our midfield can really go missing at times, but I thought we did well in that sense of keeping it together.
Yeah, I thought there, me personally, watching the game at the weekend, I thought there were a lot of holes in that midfield, which again gave Birmingham a lot of joy, and they were able to pass the ball around a lot better than we did in the midfield, I thought. I thought there were times where we looked okay and did all right there, but there were a lot of times where there were gaps and they were overrunning us in that midfield, so to speak. Cam, with obviously Livermore's been out the side just for a little while, do you think that how do you think the midfield is doing without him, and do you think that we need Livermore back in the side, or do you think this team can progress without him in the side at the moment?
Yeah, look, it's a really interesting dynamic in that midfield three at the moment. It was definitely Tom Delibashiru playing the deepest of the three, sort of in what would be the Livermore role, but obviously he's not this defensive presence that Jake Livermore is, so you would think we're missing something there. And you're right, there were gaps, and maybe there wouldn't have been if Livermore was playing. But I really like what Delibashiru gave us on the ball. I mean, he is a very, very frustrating player. We know what he can do. He can take the ball on the turn and he can drive it forward. He can't for the life of him pass. And it's so frustrating. And I thought there were a few times where he just wanted a little bit too long on the ball. But other than that, he was fantastic, as you said. I like that sort of dimension that he gives us. It helps us get the ball forward, and I thought we saw much better midfield play in patches than we've been used to under Valerian Ismaël. And I think it's down to getting sort of, you know, three positive midfield players in there. I thought Ismaël Koné, like Katie said, hit and miss. And I think that was the definition of a hit and miss performance from him. First off, I thought he was dominant. He was getting us forward. He was fantastic. Second off, not quite as noticeable. And Edo Kayembe the other way around, really. I thought first off, he looked way out of it. And second off, you know, he just grew and grew. And I thought he got a lot of good work done. But for Livermore, look, it's going to be hard for him to get back in. And maybe against as good a team as Leeds, you'd probably be tempted to put him back in there. But I'd like to see us, you know, with a more front foot approach and keep Tom Dele in there. And I think that's the only chance we got of doing any damage to Leeds, really.
Yeah, it's an interesting one because, like you say, Livermore does bring quite a bit in terms of, like, bringing the ball out, and he's great defensively, and he just shores things up a little bit, doesn't he, in that midfield role. But, yeah, I would prefer myself to see Tom Dele-Bashiru start against Leeds. Like I say, I like the three as those starters at the weekend. I'd like to see it continue. But obviously, in keeping with talking about the midfield three, obviously, we love on this podcast talking up Chad Bukatsi, and I thought he was fantastic at the weekend again. He was so lively. He was great going forward. Whenever he got the ball, he just wanted to drive forward. He was creating things. And yeah, on the ball, I thought he looked fantastic at the weekend. However, though, me personally, I still, as good as he was at the weekend, I still prefer him in that midfield three. I still think he's better in that midfield three role than he is in that front left position. What's your thoughts on that, Cam? Do you think he plays better up top, or do you prefer him in the three?
Look, I think he does a similar sort of job wherever you put him. I think wherever you put him, get him on the ball, he'll turn and he'll drive with it and he'll get us forward. And I do think with that midfield three we've got right now, there's no reason to put Chad Vitadze back there. It really is a competitive position for us. We've got a lot of good players there, and we haven't been able to say that for a few years, but we have got a lot of good, positive midfield players. So, yeah, I'd definitely be putting Chad Vitadze out on the left from now on, and I thought he was absolutely incredible on Saturday. So, yeah, keep him there. And we do have a bit of a problem out wide as well at the moment with Ken out injured and Martin's not exactly doing what we know he can do. So, yeah, keep him out there.
And Katie, obviously on the right-hand side of the front three, Yasser at the weekend, I thought he was excellent as well. I thought he, whenever he was given the ball, he was, again, looking to drive forward. There was a few times where he had to, because we weren't getting much joy in getting the ball out wide, he did drop back in a little bit behind Dennis to try and springboard moves and get us moving forward. What did you think of Yasser's performance at the weekend?
I completely agree. I think he's just that little, him and Chuck were really like, it really worked. And I feel like he is just really quick, and he's always driving forward, and he's always looking to like get himself in good positions and get other people in positions. I think the one criticism I would say about him sometimes is he's almost like so fast, his body can't keep up with how fast he is. A lot of the times he is losing the ball, and this was more towards the second half at the end. I think you see him running and then his body almost like delays, and then he's like, he loses the ball, or he can't get, like, he'll try and beat the man and he just doesn't quite get there. And you think, oh, like, it's quite frustrating to watch, because it's kind of like, oh, he's always looking to speed things up, and he never slows the game down. He's always someone who like is, you know, speeding it up. And I just think it is quite frustrating that he does lose the ball quite a bit, but you can't, like, I wouldn't say it's a huge fault, because you know that he's trying, and he's always trying to win it back, and he is a little pocket rocket. Like, he does do a lot of good things. That's just one criticism that I would say, that he did lose the ball quite a bit on Saturday, but you know, that happens.
Yeah, I remember there was that one chance in the second half where he picked up the ball probably about midway in Birmingham's half, and I think he dinked it around two or three people, and he ended up, I was really surprised he kept the ball at his feet, and Ruddy ended up having to make it was a comfortable save. He was never going to beat Ruddy at the near post. But yeah, I was really surprised by just, yeah, how he was just full of energy at the weekend. And I think it's a real positive that, you know, we've got such quality in those two wide areas at the moment with two great players. Obviously, Cam, you mentioned Martins. I was going to go to the subs a bit later, but obviously you mentioned him briefly. He did come on. He didn't really get much time in the game, did he? But he didn't really... I know we say like subs really should be given, you know, a bit longer to get going, and they should have longer in the game than a few minutes towards the end of the game. He didn't really look interested for me when he came on. There was a few times where the ball was put out and it just wasn't... He didn't look up for it for me when he came on.
No, look, I'm not sure I can agree with that. I thought he looked fine. I thought he offered a little bit of a threat, but you got to remember that he came on, you know, at a time in the game where we are up against it and we are very much trying to hold out a 1-0 lead. I really like Mateus Martins as a substitute. I think whenever he's come on lately, he's looked threatening, and the definition of, you know, running at tired legs, because he's exactly who you want for that. And he carries the ball, you know, very confidently, even if he is a little bit predictable. I think he's a perfectly good substitute to have. And that's just another reason why I'd put Cheick Batadze out on the left, because I think he's so effective. And then once you need to resort to that option, you bring Martins on. And I thought he did a reasonable job of helping us get back up the pitch, and again offered a tiny threat. But he's not quite, you know, he's not someone you'd associate with putting the defensive work in. And so I can see why you might have that view, but no, I thought he did fine.
So going to the forward position at the weekend, obviously Dennis, we knew, had a bit of an injury, didn't he, going into the weekend, and there was question marks whether Cleverley would potentially start him or whether it would be Bio or Rajovic. As it was, Dennis started the game. Cam, what do you think that says about Rajovic and Bio, that Cleverley's gone with someone who potentially wasn't 100% fully fit and wasn't going to be seen out 90 minutes of the game? Do you think that maybe there isn't a place for those two within the starting 11 between now and the end of the season, that Dennis is going to be a first choice down the middle now? Or do you think that it was just purely, maybe they'd obviously studied what Birmingham were like at the back? Obviously, there was the goal where he picked the ball off and he managed to score a fantastic goal in the end. But do you think that those two should be worried now that they might not actually get a start between now and the end of the season?
Yeah, look, I think if Emmanuel Dennis is fit enough to play an hour, then you start him, and you start him in that number nine role if you can. Because, yeah, the other two, they're just not quite there, and they're obviously not Emmanuel Dennis. So he's always going to be in over them. I think Bio has done a perfectly fine job of late, to be honest. Obviously, he's had a few starts lately, and I think he's done reasonably well. I think he does quite awkwardly make the ball stick, and he helps us get up the pitch a little bit. But, you know, he's far too inconsistent, and he goes missing an awful lot. And I don't think he's adequate as a sub. I don't think he gets in the game when he comes off the bench. So, yeah, I was sort of a little bit aggrieved that I thought Bio, he maybe could have started that game, and I thought he would have been quite effective. But nonetheless, Dennis started up front, and I think he's a brilliant number nine at this level. We've talked a lot about where we should play Emmanuel Dennis, and there's that debate: do we put him on the wings? Do we put him as the number nine? It hasn't quite worked for him so far, playing out wide. He sort of struggles to get involved. Maybe he's not as sharp as he was, and but as a number nine, I mean, he hassles the defenders a lot more than Bayern Rajovic do, that's for sure. And I know there's a stat you want to talk about that you mentioned in the chat earlier, that Dennis has already won the ball in the final third more than Rajovic this season in, what is it, a quarter of the minutes? So
466 minutes, I think Lewin said, and it was 1,600 and something that Rajovic had played. So it just shows you that he's more effective, doesn't it?
Yeah. And the goal came from that, didn't it? And look, with Dennis, he's got the quality where he only needs one chance. Bayo and Rajovic, they need, you know, 3, 4, 5 chances and they might stick one away. Dennis only needs one. And he's so capable of winning the ball and he creates a great chance for himself and he sticks it away brilliantly. So, yeah, look, Bayo and Rajovic probably not going to get many minutes between them. I mean, Rajovic didn't even come on Saturday and that says a lot. So, yeah, I'd certainly be worried if I was them, but it's brilliant to have Dennis somewhat firing.
Yeah, and Katie, do you think that obviously Dennis is getting a run of games now in the team. Do you think that he's starting to look better and more confident with obviously, I think, is that his third goal now for since he's come back, or is that his second? I can't remember. But he's obviously scored two or three goals now, and obviously he's just looking overall a lot better, isn't he?
I think the fact that Cleverley's picked an injured Dennis to play over Rajovic and Bayo is all it needs to say there, that he trusts Dennis more than them. And I do think none of them would have scored that goal. Neither of them would have scored that goal apart from Dennis. And you, as like a fan watching, you trust Dennis to score that. You trust him to win that ball and then you also trust him to finish it, because Rajovic might win the ball back but not finish it, or vice versa, you don't know. And I think we saw when Dennis played that number 9 role, I can't remember what game it was, when he played as the striker a couple weeks ago, and he was like, it was like another player when he'd gone from sort of playing on the wing and then he played up front, and it was like, wow, why has he not been playing here the whole time? I thought he did really well. I don't remember what game it was. So I think it is about, and people have said this about even Tom Cleverley, everyone looked better, because if it was Porteous or if it was Backman, if it was Dennis, I'm not sure what Cleverley would have done, but it just felt like he simplified it for them and it worked for Dennis. And, you know, we always try and play that long ball through to him. And, you know, he's not tall. He's being marked by tall defenders, but he can slip through and get round and win the ball back in those positions that he did do on Saturday. And I think that's where you have to think of the strengths. And, you know, he's a clinical finisher. He's got confidence now. You would hope that with run of games, he's now going to just build on that. And hopefully, if Cleverley's got a solid, you know, Chak, Dennis and Yasser, if that works, that's what you pick. You don't put, you know, Rajovic in because you want to switch up a bit. If that's what's working, you keep it like that. And I think the more Dennis plays there in the next couple of weeks, I think he'll get better as it goes on.
Yeah, I agree. And we've had a comment from Oster. Dennis has been awful. No other player Watford could have done what he did on Saturday. It's so important goal. It was a very, very important goal in the end, as it turned out to be the winner. Obviously, it was a very long second half, wasn't it? We were obviously, it was a very nervy 45. Obviously, Cam, you mentioned briefly, I'm just going to go back to Bayo. Obviously, he came on at the weekend. He did have a couple of, I think he had what, 2 half chances, did he? Even though obviously he didn't, I actually was quite impressed with him when he came on. He does what you always say. He does that important stuff where he presses. He just puts that pressure on the back line, doesn't he? He makes them think about what they're doing and doesn't stand off like Rajovic does. Like, he gets more involved in play. And obviously, like I say, he had a couple of half chances. Did you think he did enough when he came on to maybe kind of plant a seed in Cleverley's head just in case Dennis wasn't fit for Leeds? Obviously, I know we've got a 2-week gap now, but was you impressed with Bayo overall when he came on at the weekend?
Yeah, well, it's like I said with Martins, he came on at a stage of the game where it doesn't really suit an attacking player, but I thought he did well nonetheless, really. That first chance he had sort of from a tight angle where he maybe dragged it a little bit wide, he was a big part of making that chance. He had some good hold-up play on the right-hand side. He he linked up well and he made a good run into the box, and hard chance to score that from that angle. But yeah, I thought he did all right. And look, maybe it plants that seed in Cleverley's head, yeah, but we do have Emmanuel Dennis up there, who I'd assume he'd be fit in 2 weeks' time, and there's no way Bio gets in over him. So yeah, look, it's unlucky for him, but at least he's proven to be a decent option to have. And I think I'd be more worried if I was Rajovic, because I'm now third in the pecking order when I used to be first. So yeah, it's an interesting situation for Cleverley.
Yeah, obviously over the last couple of weeks, before Val went, I was touching on the starting 11 a lot and saying that Val didn't know what his strongest 11 was. Obviously, maybe with a couple of tweaks in the back four to the team against Leeds, do you think that front six, Katie, that he started with at the weekend potentially could be a starting six for the remainder of the season? And near enough, that team that started on Saturday, B, obviously we know Wesley will come back in. With Lewis, that's not been fantastic, and Morris coming in, could you maybe see that team starting from now to the end of the season with Wesley back in it?
Yeah, I think the one thing about the squad that we have now is, I've been saying this in other pods as well, is that even when Val was here and Val wasn't necessarily picking the strongest team to start, anyone on the subs bench also had a role to play when they were coming on. So even if you were coming on at 70 minutes, you knew that you were coming on to do a job. It wasn't just to, you know, change fresh legs. It was to, you know, defend or whatever. And obviously games change and you don't know who you're going to be up against. Like Cam was saying, I kind of hope that we go for the Leeds game. I hope we don't sit back and play people that are going to be like, oh yeah, well, we'll just defend from the get-go. Like, I would want to see us give it a go, because it's the Championship, anything can happen. And I think we do have enough players where you can switch things, even if it is just one or two players, to suit the game, like the Livermores or even the Pollocks. And the fact that we have a problem where we can't think of, you know, in the back three or back four, whatever, we have people who we go, oh, actually, should they play or should they play? But they're really good. Like, that's a good problem to have if you want, you know, if you've got Hoop, but you've also got Pollock and you've got Porteous, and you think, actually, if you rotate that regularly, each player should play, but you have to pick two. And sometimes you just have to, some weeks it will be someone different, and that's just how it is. But I think the team that played on Saturday, I would say, is probably one of our strongest teams, with, you know, maybe a one player here, one player there. But, you know, you have injuries, you have suspensions, that's what happens. And you just have to kind of adapt with each game as it goes on.
Yeah, I agree. There may be changes, obviously, between now and the end of the season, but hopefully as close to that starting 11 at the weekend does remain for the remainder of the season. Cam, just a final thought on the subs at the weekend. Obviously, Serialta came on at the weekend towards the end, obviously, just to shore things up at the back. He came on for Chavkatsi, was it, in the end? Was it? I can't remember. Was it Yasser?
I can't
remember. I
think it was Yasser, yeah. And Tom Ince obviously came on for Ishmael Kone, didn't he?
Yeah.
End, wasn't it? Or was it Kambe? I can't remember. Yeah, but anyway, Ince and Serialta came on. How do you think they did at the weekend? Were you impressed by their short cameos in the game? Or,
well, their job was to close out the game and hassle the opposition. Serialta, yeah, you know what you're going to get. He'll win every header. Very much, you know, gone to sort of the Valerian Ishmael, holding out a lead, back three there. But we didn't do it with half an hour to go, which I really like, because I think we've been guilty of going defensive a bit too early when we took the lead, and we've not always been punished by it, but we have sometimes. And this time, you know, he waited until, what was it, the 88th minute or whatever, really late on to go for that back three. As for Tom Ince, look, he wasn't too involved. He closes down his opposition. He works hard. I do think there's a place for him. Not a starter, but just coming on, and he can give us a little bit of energy. A bit of end product as well. I still think he's got that end product. We don't get to see it an awful lot. But yeah, nothing to write home about really from those two. Just did a solid job.
Yeah, I agree. And like you say, Seriato, when he came on, you know what you're going to get. He's big, isn't he? He was probably the perfect person to bring on with Jukovic on the pitch as well at the weekend. Obviously, after seeing what he did at Hull a couple of weeks ago and them snatching a point there, I was obviously quite nervous when he came on, but I thought we handled that situation very well. But overall, then, at the weekend, I'll go to you, Katie, first of all. How did you think Tom did in his first game in charge? Were you impressed by what you saw compared to what we'd seen in previous weeks?
I was really happy for him, and I wanted us to win, obviously, but I also really want us to win for him because, you know, it's not an easy task that he's taken on, and I just think he's so new into being a manager, and he's come in at a really hard time where, you know, the fans are low, the squad's low. Like, he's clearly very respected by the players, and it must be a bit weird to have someone who you played with come in and like be your manager. Like, I feel like that might be a bit weird, but it seems that they really get on. Like, I love seeing the players come off, like giving him a hug, like the post-match interviews where they were all like, we love Cleverley, like we just want to do it for him. Like, if anything, they want to win for him because they respect him. And I just think I was also worried that maybe he wouldn't be able to, you know, turn it around within 5 days of what he had. And, you know, it wasn't the prettiest performance. It wasn't the best performance, but that doesn't matter. We got the win, and all it is about pushing to get that 3 points. And that's what he did. And I think if we can keep going through that season, I'm not saying we're going to win every game, we'll probably lose quite a few, but if the desire and the determination is there and the players try their hardest, that's all we can ask. And that's all we want as fans to watch.
Yeah, I agree. And same question to you, Cam. How did you think Tom fared up in his first game in charge?
Yeah, look, tactically, I was surprised. I don't think it's often you see a manager come in with no experience, and he's only had, what, a week with the players. And it's a completely different style. It's, it was a lot more direct. And there was a period in the first half where every time we had the ball at the back, it went long. We even took some goal kicks long, which we never do anymore. So, yeah, it was a breath of fresh air, really. But the only problem with that is you've got to find a balance. And as much as I'd like to see us be more direct, we don't really have the players up front to compete for the first contact and win the second ball. So, you've got to find a balance. And I think Tom tried to do that. And when we were allowed to play with it on the floor a little bit, we passed it with a little bit more urgency. We were certainly more positive. And I don't know about you, but I can't really recall a time where we were stuck passing between our centre-backs and our goalkeeper for too long. So, yeah, it was really refreshing. But in terms of the man himself, I mean, I don't know about the players, but I'd run through brick walls for Tom Cleverley, because he's Watford through and through, and he's exactly who you want, the kind of personality you want managing these players. So, I'm chuffed for him that he got the win, and I thought he handled himself really, really well in the post-match interviews. He very much seemed like he knows what he's doing, and I loved that he took accountability for the game plan not quite, you know, being as comfortable as we'd like it to be. But look, it's only the first week of his career, so yeah, that hopefully much more to come. But yeah, I'm really excited about Tom.
Yeah, I agree. I think like Katie touched on, you know, everyone that turned up on Saturday, I would probably speak on behalf of everybody that was in the ground and all Watford fans, that we adore Tom Cleverley to a point. You know, I said this walking out of the ground, like, it's hard to believe and it made me feel very old that he was a young 18-year-old boy that had come to Watford from United. Obviously, a scary move for any youngster. And he was phenomenal that first season. And to think that he would end up back at Watford, not only as a player, a captain, but now a manager. I mean, it's just, he's done a full circle, really. And it's just, it's incredible, really. And I'm so happy for him. And I really do hope that it does go well for him between now and the end of the season. I hope that Watford fans, what they saw at the weekend, like you said, Cam, it wasn't the best, but there was something there. There was a lot of positives to take. And yeah, I'll ask you first, Katie. I think this is an interesting one, this. Obviously, we're currently 13th in the table. What if you were to predict an end position at the moment based on what you'd seen at the weekend and knowing, I think we've got a good chance of finishing in the top half. What would be our end position for the end of the season in the league table?
I'd probably say, I think around like between like 12th and 10th, I think is, you know, we've got quite a hard run of games coming up. I don't think, even though it was good on Saturday, it was Birmingham and they are, you know, relegation. I think we've got, you know, we're playing everyone in the top half now. I'm going to say, I would hope that we can finish around sort of between 10th and 12th. I mean, a top half finish is great, but we have to be realistic, even though we want to, as much as we want to get behind Cleverly and be like, well, we're going to be, you know, amazing, we have to also be realistic. And I do think there are some games that are going to be really tough for us. So I'm going to say between 10th and 12th.
Cam?
I'll be honest, I think we'll be lower than the 13th position we're sat in right now. You've got to look at our run of games and it is just absolutely horrible. I mean, people are saying our most winnable game is Preston at home, and I don't disagree with that, but Preston are doing pretty well. So if that's what we're relying on for points, then yeah, look, it's going to be a tough end to the season. And Cleverley's a young manager working with a small squad. We've still got a lot of the same problems we had under Valerian Ismail. It's not going to turn around overnight. So, yeah, look, I don't see us finishing any higher than 13th. I think realistically the teams below us will pick up more points than us. So, but I think that 3 points against Birmingham, that's going to be enough to keep us well away from relegation. So I'm going to say we'll be 15th. I just don't see us finishing any higher than that.
Interesting. Yeah, I don't know. I said 10th at the beginning of the season. I'm going to still stick with my prediction of 10th. I think we will end up there. I think, I don't know, there's just something about, you know, the performance the other day, the games we've got at home. I know we're playing Leeds, we've got Hull, Preston and Sunderland. See, Sunderland are just so hit and miss. I do think we could beat them. And Hull and Preston, you never know what you're going to get on the day. So, you know, if Watford turn up and decide that they want to play well, then, you know, I think we could get wins there. And you know what? I'm probably going to get hammered for this, but there's a lot going on in that promotion race at the moment at the top of the table. I do think there's going to be some swings and turns and some shocks along the way between now and the end of the season between those front four, top four. And who knows, Watford could go to Southampton and nick a win there and really upset the promotion race. So, yeah, I'm going to stick my neck out and still say 10th. I think they're good enough for it, and it would be a great end to the season for us. But just going through a couple of comments before we finish, as we were talking, Philip Crouch said, at the weekend, back four all played well. Totally, well, again, we did touch in at the start, didn't we? Centre-backs played really well. Andrews, Morris, maybe not so much, but Phil. Saul Silliman said, started the match slowly, but confidence grew. Wasn't much of a match, but the result was all that mattered. I agree, we need to have a go at Leeds and take the game to them. Couldn't agree more. Katie's right, we'll be lucky to get 15th. I think we'll get 1-5 in the last five, but that is a success. What else have we got? With Val Ball, we would have lost on Saturday. And then 10th shot. cool. So wrapping up then, guys. Cam, do you know when the are we doing a preview for the Leeds game? Do you know?
I imagine we will be, and it will normally be on the Tuesday or Wednesday night prior to the Leeds game. Although it's a Friday game, isn't it, Leeds? So
yeah,
possibly a bit earlier. I'm going to predict Tuesday, but we'll let you all know.
Perfect. Yeah, and I think we're in discussions. We may put something out next weekend potentially for a bit of content, even though there's no game. We've kind of briefly discussed that we might put something out. So do stay tuned to have a look for that. And thanks for tuning in, everybody. Obviously, if you've watched, please do hit that like button. And if you've not subscribed, please do hit the subscribe button. You'll get a notification every time we go live. And yeah, thanks for tuning in, everybody. Stay safe, everybody, and come on, you Orns.
Sports Social Podcast Network.